it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Patrick Clancy came home with takeout and found his wife seriously injured in the backyard. She told him she had tried to end it. He asked where the children were, and she said in the basement. He went downstairs, and 911 dispatchers heard him untangling exercise cords from the necks of his children, begging them to breathe between his cries. That's where this story starts. Not with the courtroom, not with charges, with a father in a basement and the sound of what happens when every safety net in a woman's life has already failed. This is a complicated story. Let's go through it, and I'd love to get your thoughts in the comment section as we do just that. The links are in the description. Substack and YouTube. 5 days after that, the same man sat down and wrote a public statement. He had just lost all three of his children. Cora was 5, Dawson was 3, Callan was 8 months old and had held on for 4 days in the hospital before he didn't. And Patrick wrote about each of them. Cora coming downstairs every morning with her hair a mess and a smile on her face. Dawson, whose best quality was his pure kindness. Callan, who would rest his head on Patrick's shoulder every morning for a few quiet minutes, just adjusting to the day. And he wrote this: I want to ask all of you that you find it deep within yourselves to forgive Lindsay as I have. The real Lindsay was generously loving and caring towards everyone, me, our kids, family, friends, and her patients. The very fibers of her soul are loving. All I wish for her now is that she can somehow find peace. The person with the most and the strongest right to condemn her couldn't do it. And if that doesn't make you, as a stranger who doesn't know these people, stop and ask why, then you need to start paying attention to what this case is actually about. Because, I mean, that's quite a stretch. That's quite an understanding for one person to have of another after they've just taken your three children from you. Forgiveness. That tells you there's more at play here than just simply, well, she's evil. Lindsay Clancy was a labor and delivery nurse at Massachusetts General Hospital. She spent her working life in the room where life begins. The person other families trusted to be there when their children took their first breath. Friends and colleagues submitted letters to the court describing her as someone who lived and breathed for her children. A coworker described her specifically as the nurse you would want caring for your wife, sister, or daughter as they welcome their child into the world. She and Patrick had 3 kids together, Cora, Dawson, and Callan, born in 2022. They lived in Dexbury, a small coastal town about 30 miles south of Boston. From the outside, it looked like a lot of families look, busy, loving, trying to hold it together. But after Callan was born, something changed. Lindsay's family said she seemed more like a different person, more manic than they had ever seen her. She recognized it herself, and here's a detail that the whole case turns on. She did not ignore it. She did not hide it. She did not tough it out. She asked for help. She asked and asked and asked. What happened next is why this case has rattled people far beyond Massachusetts and why we are going to be covering it going forward. In fact, we have a whole five-part series on this case for you next week. Lindsay started seeing a psychiatrist after Callan's birth. She was prescribed Zoloft. According to the civil lawsuit Patrick later filed, that made her sleepless and more anxious rather than stopping to reassess. Her doctor prescribed another medication, then another. She went to an emergency room in November 2022, telling them she was afraid something awful was going to happen, and they prescribed her more medication. By late November, she was reporting thoughts of ending it for the first time. On December 5th, Lindsay called Aspire Crisis Support because she was having intrusive thoughts of wanting to die. She told them directly she believed her symptoms were connected to the medications she had been given. 4 days later, Patrick picked up the phone himself and called her nurse's office. He told them it was fairly urgent. He described his wife's panic attacks, her S-ideation, how bad things had gotten. He needed someone to take this seriously. The advice they received? Just keep taking the meds. Just keep taking them. They're good. She told her husband and her own mother, I have thoughts of harming the kids. She went to Women and Infants Hospital in Providence, a program built specifically for postpartum depression. She told the staff she was crazy depressed, numb to all emotion, and can't feel love. These are her words. Testing confirmed she was severely depressed, ranked in the most severe category for anxiety. But a doctor there reportedly ruled out both postpartum depression and bipolar disorder, allegedly without taking an adequate medical history. She was not admitted. She was told to stop one medication and go on home. Just go on your way. That's good. Our medical system sucks. She checked herself into McLean Hospital, one of the most respected psychiatric institutions in the country, for 5 days. Then a 10-minute follow-up phone call, then a 7-minute appointment, then another prescription, another reaction, another prescription. So we handle medical emergencies here. It's just ping pong. Oh, you got this, take this. You got that, take that. You got this, too. Boom, 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 boom. You know, I'm trying to get help here. It's not a matter of like winning a game. It's just living. Too busy. I got a tennis match. I mean, this is how we handle things. We're just take a pill, keep going. By January 23, the defense says Lindsay had been prescribed 13 medications over 4 months, which, by the way, is insane. A lot of these medications take weeks or months to really be effective, to see their full breadth of effectiveness or not. And when you start mixing some of these together, antidepressants, antipsychotics, sedatives, sleep aids, across multiple providers who are not meaningfully coordinating with each other, you get this. People relying on the experts, on the doctors, for their care, for their expertise. And the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, or doesn't even look, or doesn't even care, or thinks their way is better. Well, that's not my responsibility. And then you get this. Patrick told a friend the medications were not working, that Lindsay was experiencing the worst side effects possible, and that he believed she had become addicted to benzodiazepines. She described feeling disconnected from her own body. She was experiencing hallucinations. Every appointment handed her a new anchor and called it a life preserver. On January 23rd, the day before Lindsay had a 7-minute virtual appointment. The doctor increased her dosage. The prosecution sees this story very differently. And that deserves to be on the table. Blood drawn from Lindsay in the hours after the killings found 7 medications in her system. Their psychiatric expert testified those medications at those dosage levels would not have caused psychosis or violence.
Really?
I bet there's an expert that might disagree. Prosecutors also say that 4 days before January 24th, Lindsay searched her phone for the phrase, "Can you treat a sociopath?" And that she researched methods of killing. Their position is unambiguous. She planned this. She sent her husband out deliberately, calculated exactly how long he would be gone, and acted with what they call deliberate premeditation and extreme atrocity and cruelty. Yeah, and maybe she did. But why? Why is that what she's thinking? Has she ever in her history of life planned things like this, shown a pattern for violence, shown a pattern for manipulating and coercing other people to their death? Or close to, or just utter chaos? Is there that process going on that prior to postpartum, even though she wasn't technically diagnosed with that, but she clearly had it, prior to that, is there a track record of any of this? Is this her modality? Her husband doesn't seem to think so. Because look, there's plenty of cases where that is the case, where that is true, and that is the reality of what you're dealing with. Basically a sociopath that some people call mom and wife, and it turns out they're not so much mom or wife after all. And there's some cases where they very much are, but they're fed a cocktail of prescription drugs that aren't being regulated or checked from the one doctor to the next. And you mix it all together, do the hokey pokey, and turn yourself around, and you find the kids in the basement with nooses around their neck. Or cords, or whatever the hell happened here. Because that's what it's all about. Hey! So that's the prosecution's case. It does have evidence behind it. And a theory. Certainly has a theory. One which doesn't seem to take into account anything about the reality of the case or the woman in it. But they got a case, don't they? They got a case they can go with. It has evidence behind it, and a jury is going to have to weigh it against everything else. But here's what also is true. A woman called a crisis line. A woman told her husband. A woman told her mother. A woman walked herself into McLean Hospital. A woman showed up to every appointment, filed every prescription, tried everything the system put in front of her, and the system kept moving her along. On the evening of January 24th, 23, Patrick left to pick up takeout from a restaurant in Plymouth. According to medical records cited in the civil lawsuit, Lindsay checked a map to see how long the drive would take. Prosecutors say that was her calculating how much time she had alone. The defense says she was terrified to be by herself and wanted to know when her husband was coming back. Single detail, a woman looking at a map, is now one of the most contested pieces of evidence in the case. While Patrick was gone, Lindsay allegedly strangled all 3 of her children with the exercise bands. Cora and Dawson were found in the basement. Callum was rushed to the hospital. He died 3 days later. Lindsay cut her wrists and neck. Then she went to the second floor window and jumped. And Patrick came home with takeout. Oh, shoot, they forgot the ketchup. What the hell is going on here? Found her in the backyard. She told him she had tried to end it. He asked where the children were. She said the basement. He went downstairs. And according to medical records referenced in the lawsuit, Lindsay later told providers that she'd been hearing a voice described as a compelling, unrecognizable, singular male voice that told her, "This is your last chance," and that she had to take her children with her. Lindsay survived the fall. She is paralyzed from the waist down. She has been held at Tewksbury State Hospital ever since. And as of earlier this year, her attorney told the court she continues to experience ideation every day. He said on the record, if this woman ends it during this trial, there's a very real probability that that could happen, it's on somebody and it's not me. The system is still failing her. A labor and delivery nurse, a woman who spent her career making sure other people's babies arrived safely into the world, allegedly hearing a voice telling her to take her own children with her the night after a 17-minute virtual appointment, and a doctor who was supposed to be keeping her stable. The trial is set for July 20th. In Plymouth Superior Court, Lindsay has pled not guilty to 3 counts of murder and 3 counts of strangulation. Her defense is pursuing lack of criminal responsibility, the insanity defense, arguing her mental state made it impossible for her to conform her behavior to the law. If that argument succeeds, she would not walk free. She would be committed to a state psychiatric facility and come up for periodic review. Her attorney has also asked for the trial to be split into 2 separate phases, one to determine if she actually killed her children, a second to determine if she was mentally responsible when she did it. That motion is still being argued. The prosecution's psychiatric evaluation of Lindsay is scheduled for April 10th, a few weeks from now. The defense has asked for it to be videotaped. Patrick has since moved to Manhattan. He gave an interview to The New Yorker in 2024 and said, "I wasn't married to a monster. I was married to someone who got sick." Prosecutors have subpoenaed those recordings, arguing that statements Patrick made about Lindsay's mental state are material to their case. So now the husband's act of grace, his attempt to tell his wife's story honestly, is potentially being used as evidence against her in court. Both Patrick and Lindsay have filed separate civil malpractice lawsuits against her former providers, naming the specific psychiatrist and nurse practitioner they allege over-medicated and misdiagnosed her. Lindsay's parents have spent 3 years living in a hotel near Tewksbury Hospital so they can visit their daughter every day. Her mother stood outside the courthouse earlier this year crying and said, "She's a loving mother. She always has been." 3 children are dead. Their father has forgiven their mother, sued her doctors, and moved to a new city trying to build something out of what's left. Their mother sits in a state hospital, paralyzed, still fighting to stay alive, waiting for a jury to decide whether what happened in that basement was murder or the last stop on a chain of failures that nobody in that medical system ever chose to own. In July, 12 people in Plymouth County are going to have to answer that question. The law will give them the framework. The experts will fight over brain chemistry and medication levels and what psychosis looks like versus what premeditation looks like. But here's what the verdict won't fix. A woman can call a crisis line, tell her husband, tell her mother, check herself into a hospital, and still fall completely through. That's not a legal argument. That's a problem. Your thoughts, your opinions in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We will continue this conversation there. I look forward to it. Press subscribe wherever you're getting podcasts so you don't miss any of our reporting on this and the many cases we follow for you right here. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot.
Chalk, breathe, rechalk.
Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.